Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, and I hope you have had a fantastic weekend. I hope you won your week last week. Hope you were able to find something useful within our last episode to help you move forward, to move closer to obtaining your goals. Because after all, if we don't have goals that we're striving for, if we're not moving in a direction towards something that we want to achieve, if we're not growing, if we're not developing, we're just standing here. And too many of us feel like that's exactly what we're doing. Too many of us feel like that, hey, I'm just standing still. I'm not moving. I'm not going forward. So we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional in winning the moment, winning several moments so that we win our day, winning several days so that we win our week. And what does it mean to do that? It means to do that little bit more, to move you toward your goal. But hey, if you're moving toward a goal, guess what you have to have? A goal. So set a goal. Understand where you want to go. Really think about, what are the things I want to get done? And it doesn't have to be a 10-year plan. It doesn't have to be a 5-year plan. It can be a this month plan. It can be a this year plan. It can be a this quarter plan. Have goals along the way so that you've got a clear roadmap on where you want to go so that you can actually win the moment, win the day, and of course, when you're weak. And that's what we want to help you do right here on the Quotivation Podcast. So let's get started. We'll get started helping you win your week right here today by taking a shot of motivation. And this week, our shot of motivation is brought to you by Amy Real. Amy Real is the real deal in all things mortgage. You want to get to know Amy. Amy is a big friend of the show. She's a friend of mine, has been for a very long time. I've had the opportunity to work with Amy. I've gotten to know Amy over the years, and she is just a fantastic individual. So if you are in need of a mortgage for that dream home, or maybe that second mortgage, maybe want to invest a little bit, maybe you need an investment property, that beach house or that you know, the lake house or the land that's out there that you're going to build on one day, and you need a mortgage for that, give her a call, because Amy Real is the real deal in all things mortgage. Her phone number, 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can also email Amy at amy.real, R-E-I-H-L, at ccm.com. She is Amy Real, and she is the real deal in all things mortgage. When you reach out to her, tell her you were Quotivated to get that mortgage deal done. And Amy's NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thank you, Amy. All right, let's get to it. Let's take a shot of motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
There's been something that's been on my mind, and I've been debating about whether to even bring it up as a topic, especially in this podcast form, for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, I was always told that if you're doing a podcast like mine, don't date yourself. Don't talk about situations that are current events at the time of the recording, because as the longevity of your show will not last. The shelf life will be shortened. But I'm going to break that rule. Because I keep hearing about this story and I keep seeing interviews, and it really speaks to me. And I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not trying to come down on anyone. I'm not trying to pass judgment or blame on anyone, but there's a situation that's going on in the news right now where a Norwegian cruise ship came to port in South Africa on an island just off the African coast. And if you know anything about cruises, you know that when you come to port, you have the option to get off the ship. You have a lot of activities that the cruise company will arrange for you that are cruise sponsored excursions at these ports. But you also have the opportunity, if you so choose, to book your own private excursion. And that's what several passengers did. They booked a private excursion outside the bounds of the cruise. Now, if you've ever been on a cruise, if you know anything about cruises, when you go to port, what's the one thing that they tell you? They tell you the all aboard time. They tell you what time to be back. And folks, they don't mess around. That's the time you need to be back. And so unfortunately, there were some individuals that were left behind that missed the boat, that missed the return to the all aboard time, because their private excursion was delayed. It ran long. Now, if the excursion is a cruise-sponsored excursion and they experience some kind of delay, the cruise ship will wait. But if you book your own excursion, or if you go out on your own, or if you just go exploring, it's on you. You got to get back. When it's time to go, they'll tell you, we'll leave you. We're not hanging around. We got a schedule we have to keep. These cruises have to stay on schedule. I even heard one travel expert say that these cruise companies have to pay for the amount of time that they are in port. And so if they stay longer, they have to pay more. And so when they tell you to be back, you need to be back. This wouldn't have been such a big, this happens a lot. People get left often. Because they don't return to the ship in time. But for some reason, this story has just kind of blown up. And what I really want to address, or what I really want us to think about, are some of the interviews that I've heard from these passengers and the way the media is portraying this. Stranded on an island. Abandoned. No, they missed the boat. They weren't stranded. They weren't abandoned. They didn't get back on time. One cruise passenger who was left behind said this. She said, after what we witnessed, we truly believe that although there's a set of rules or policies that the ship may have followed, they followed those rules too rigidly. I believe that they forgot that they are people working in the hospitality industry. And really, the safety and well-being of the customers should be their first priority. Well, I'd argue it was. That's why they told you to be back at 3:30. That's why they told you what time you need to be back on the ship. They were concerned for your safety if you got left behind, so they made it a point to over-communicate the times you need to be back on ship. And so it just got me thinking about where is our personal responsibility? When are we going to step up and take personal responsibility, not just in this situation? This is just an example. And again, I'm not trying to come down hard on someone. I'm not trying to blame them or shame them for what's happened. It's an unfortunate incident. And look, if it were me or my family or a family member of mine that was, I would probably feel differently. Yeah, they should have waited. Maybe so. But there was not one shred of personal responsibility in those statements, in a lot of the statements that I'm hearing. Ah, no, there are rules, but you should have waited for me. Why? Why? What is it that makes you so special that we should break the rules and the company should have to pay more to sit in port and wait for you to get back from your personal excursion that you secured privately outside of the excursions provided by the cruise? There just seems to be a lack of responsibility that people take anymore. We don't take responsibility for our own actions. When things happen, when there are consequences to things that we do, that we know are against the rules or sometimes even against the law, how dare you? How dare you arrest me? How dare you write me that ticket? Do you know who I am? How dare you leave me when I'm an hour late returning from my private excursion that I booked outside of the ones that you provide, knowing the risks, knowing that I could be left behind, but how dare you leave me behind? You didn't really mean that, did you? We really need to get back to taking personal responsibility for our actions. Doesn't mean you can't be upset about something that happened. Doesn't mean you can't be upset about the speeding ticket you got going 7 miles over the limit when everyone was passing you by. That's not fair. That's not right. No, it's not. But you were speeding too. I don't know where we lost our way. I'm not sure what it was that gave us the idea that we can snub our nose at the rules and the policies and the guidelines that we agree to follow when we frequent a company or purchase a product or a service. You know, the cruise line is in the hospitality business, and they had hundreds, maybe even thousands. I don't know how big the ship was. I don't know how many people were on it. But they had a whole large group of people that were able to get back onto the ship on time. So if I'm one of those people, why is my vacation going to be held up and I'm going to be late to the next port of call, or I'm going to miss the sunset that I wanted to see as we cruise out of the port? Why is my experience going to be held up because you couldn't come back on time? That's the responsibility. We have to take personal responsibility for our actions, and we have to accept some of the consequences that come, especially when we're pre-warned, especially when we know what they are. I know the consequences of speeding down the interstate, and I'm going to choose to speed anyway, and you pull me over? How dare you? Please. You got caught. You got caught. It's unfortunate. It's going to cost money. It's going to hurt the insurance, but you got caught. Own it. You got to own it. You got left. Frightening, I'm sure. But maybe you should have thought about that before you put yourself in that position. Because had it been a cruise excursion and it was late, they would have waited. You took a risk. And that risk came back to bite you. So whose fault is that? The cruise lines? No. Take some personal responsibility. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like what happened. But it's time for us to step up and own the actions, own our actions, own the actions that we perform. And know that there could be an opportunity here for me to experience something that's not pleasant. It's not great. It's consequences and actions. Am I willing to take the risk? And if you are, great, take it. But when those consequences come, understand there's one person that put you in the position to experience those consequences. That person was you. So this week, as we move forward, think about your actions. Think about the things that you are doing. Understand not only the positive benefits of your actions, but also the consequences of your actions. And weigh them out in order to take the risk or not to take the risk. And if you decide to act, whatever it is, it could be for a great cause. It could be for a great reason. But if you decide to act and consequences come, accept them. Take some personal responsibility because the decision ultimately was yours. And that's how you win your week. And that's your shot of motivation. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's shot of motivation.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week, Victoria Fusco, the visionary leader behind the Leader HQ, leverages over a decade of leadership and entrepreneurial expertise. Her journey is defined by the belief that effective communication can change the world and a deep commitment to empowering leaders to their highest potential. As founder and coach at the Leader HQ, Victoria is dedicated to cultivating a culture of continuous growth, fostering leaders who inspire themselves and others. Her mission is clear: to empower leaders to unlock their full potential, creating a ripple effect of positive change throughout organizations. Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Victoria Fusco. Victoria, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this conversation, and I'm excited to have you on the Quotivation Podcast. Why don't we start off? Tell us a little bit about the Leader HQ, how this got started, how you got into this, where you drive your passion for leadership development from.
Awesome. Just a little bit? How much right. time do you have?
We got all the time in the world. Go right
I know, ahead. Right? I know. So the Leader HQ is leadership development, but specifically it's all about soft skill development. So we don't do business coaching. We don't do HR. We seriously only focus on empowering the leader and empowering every person on their team from entry level to executive within the company to have those leadership skill sets. And that way too, you can better identify who is a good candidate for future leadership as well. A lot of people kind of wait a little too long on that. And then the leader, the manager has to catch up on those really essential skill sets to be on a team, not just leading the team. Leader HQ was born officially in December, but I've had my business for 10 years and it's just kind of been a journey of evolution into leadership development, starting in marketing and events for client success and small business. So it's really been little kind of ticks into place to get to where we are now.
That's really awesome. And some of the things that you have available, I want to dig into a little bit. One of them is Hugs and Hustle. Tell me, yes. I love that name, by the way. Hugs and Hustle. It sounds like what I needed growing up when I was playing sports. It's like, you know, don't yell at me, coach. Give me a hug and then I'll hustle.
Exactly. That's so funny.
Yeah. Tell me about empowering women leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny because the name was actually born from just a little bit of dyslexia. I read somebody's shirt wrong on a Zoom call. I was in a group Zoom call and this woman, I don't even remember who she is. She probably thinks I'm crazy. But I was staring at her going, Hugs and Hustle. I love that. And she ended up talking and moving and I saw it and it did not say Hugs and Hustle. So definitely a universe God thing. I was like, all right, well, I guess that's just the name of the business moving forward. But once I secured that, it kind of gave me a little bit of direction into what leadership development needed specifically, and being a young woman in the business community and a leader, just being able to experience kind of some of those setbacks and understanding how to overcome them and not necessarily, you know, complain about it or sit in victim mode, but instead figure out how to play the game and play it well and kind of leverage it to work for you. So Hugs and Hustle was born from that. And we actually still work with mostly women in management and more male-dominated industries. So like the construction world, tech, finance, even some like assistant things like virtual assistant, things like that. So it's just kind of how can we allow your voice to be heard in a more male dominated industry? And how can we just teach other people how to advocate, not just for women, but minority as well, and the workplace, just across the board?
And so, in your opinion, what are the steps we need to take? You talk about how to play the game, but how do we change the game?
It takes a long time.
Right.
I think a lot of people don't talk about that. It takes a lot longer than you think it does. But that's what we do at the Leader HQ. Everything we do is just that 1% every day, Atomic Habits by James Clear. Just those little changes that you can do to really learn these habitual skill sets to make real change. And so I think it's just one, the first step is being aware, right? It's like an AA meeting, like just be aware of the problem, or that there could possibly be a problem, right? Doesn't necessarily need to be that you have identified exactly what it is. But once we have that step of awareness, then we start to look for places that we can make change. And that alone will just be wonderful in team dynamics and leaders and companies.
It's such an emotionally charged topic as well. And so personal for a lot of people, male and female alike.
Absolutely.
How do you attack that problem from a perspective of, let's remove some of the emotion from it and look at it from a true business perspective to say, we're not here for the best man, or, you know, for the, for the best, you know, best white man with the best experience, right? We're here for the best person for this role. How do you progress leaders and thought process and biases to reach that point?
I love this question. This is a great question. So the thing that comes to mind for me is something that we teach in the very beginning stages of working with clients is react versus respond. And how we define react versus respond is reactions more of emotional mixed in, kind of like a pinball machine. And a response is just an opportunity to have a two-way conversation. And so how I kind of draw it out on the whiteboard, I always have my like rolling whiteboard with me everywhere I go, is I write two arrows going up, but they're next to each other. It's an emotional parallel. So I think just explaining that concept a lot of times helps people say, oh, I can have something happening in my environment. It doesn't mean that I need to be a part of it. I can step out of the crazy chaos storm and have a two-way conversation moving forward out of the storm. And so I think if we just lean into having deeper conversations, and knowing that having a conversation without emotion mixed in that reaction versus response is even a possibility for people. I think if people can just realize that, again, that awareness,
right,
it really makes a difference.
And that, it's so interesting because as you're explaining that, I'm thinking that is a soft skill in and of itself, number one, but it could be applied to so many different scenarios, situations. I think about how we're just divided politically.
Oh yeah.
And the emotions that are involved in that, if we could step aside, like you said, from that and have conversations, that's what leads to results. And it's not, I'm going to get you and you're going to get me and I get this zinger in. It's it's all about understanding and listening with an empathetic ear to the other side so that you at least have the perspective.
Absolutely. And that's actually, perspective is one of our three P's, is everybody has problems, but everybody has perspective, and you have to act out of patience, which is that response versus reaction. And perspective is like, I mean, you could grow up on the same street, but have two totally different experiences in life. And everybody's perspective on the world is dictated by how they were grown up and what they were taught to believe in the world. Because what's that wheel? It's like our beliefs dictate our thoughts, provide our actions, provide our results. And so it's like that belief system really drives perspective and results we get in our life. It's super psychology. That's a totally different podcast, but we could be here for hours.
Maybe that's one we need to have because it's fascinating. And so, so from the perspective of Hugs and Hustle and empowering women leaders, what are some of the things that you're seeing? There's definitely, we hear about pay discrepancy. What are some other discrepancies that are out there between the male dominated industries and the female that's trying to break into those industries?
I think the biggest thing that I've seen that's just kind of been a pattern across the board, no matter what industry it is just being taken seriously. A lot of women, and just from our kind of studies working with clients and our own personal experience on our team, is just realizing that getting that extra step to be taken seriously, women really have to show up with data. They really have to show up poised. We don't get the luxury of winging it a lot of times. Depends on what industry you're in. Sometimes you can. But if you're in a more male-dominated industry, that is something that, you have to kind of work a little extra hard and present yourself in a way that you're already overcoming potential objections that they might have to better qualify yourself, which I wouldn't say it's a horrible thing. I think it's a really great thing to practice that muscle and really work that skill of, okay, how can I really make sure I'm qualified to do this job and do what's required?
And again, coming in ready to overcome objections, even overcoming them before they are raised. That's just another soft skill that could be put in the arsenal to propel you forward.
Absolutely.
And it's a soft skill that so many people need to have. I can't tell you the number of times that, I'm listening to a presentation and in my mind, I already have an objection and it's not addressed. And so I get stuck on it, right? I don't hear the rest. And so if you can anticipate those things and address them right up front, it opens the minds of everyone in the room to really hear what you're there to say and what a powerful skill to have.
Absolutely.
Talk to me a little bit, Victoria, about impact. And this is your methodology in terms of training. Tell me how you came to that, what it means, and how it works.
Oh gosh. So just really 10 years of failing fast and failing forward, having my own team of W-2 employees and 1099, and then working with multiple different clients that had multi-million dollar companies, had smaller companies, they all had teams, and really getting to see kind of every angle and perspective, right, of that team dynamic, what worked, what didn't work, and really just like trial by fire, really, just figuring out what works, what didn't work, trying new things. And what I was really good at was documenting my processes. And that is what built impact, was just looking back and saying, wow, I have documented everything and I actually have a curriculum here that works. And I got to see what didn't work and cut out the fluff and all this extra stuff that I think a lot of times we like to add to make it feel better. And it's just really cut and dry. But impact is intentional management practices, accountability, and communication training. And so that's really just the anchor to which we serve clients from. It's a 12-part soft skill development curriculum. And we just pull from that for everything, one-on-one, for group, custom curriculum build-outs for companies, consulting, coaching, kind of everything in that world is built from impact.
I have so many questions that I want to dive into about that. But like you said, we could be here all day, but I do want to touch on a couple of things because I love the fact that you highlight accountability in this and just the importance of accountability. Talk to me about what that means to you and to your team versus I think when people hear accountability, there's this cringe, right?
I
It's like,
know.
oh, that's a bad word. That's bad stuff. That means
I have to
someone's going
actually change.
to, right? Or someone's going to fuss at me. What is, so what is accountability to you? What does it mean and how is it helpful?
So I say this to clients and I say it to my team too all the time, but CRO, Chief Repeating Officer, that is something that you want to get good at. You want to wear it as a badge and just, it's okay to repeat yourself. We visit this a lot with leaders. They feel frustrated because they feel like it's a problem that they repeat themselves with their teams or their kids, right? Sometimes it's personal. And I'm like, it's okay. Like a lot of times when we think of the marketing side and social media on advertising, how many touches does it take for someone to get it, right? Even in person, it takes, what do they say, 7 touches for someone to trust, like, and know you to give you business. So think of it in that sense. So think of it in your team. Just repeat yourself. It's okay. So that's the biggest part of accountability. And then the other side that we do that we actually practice what we preach is all of our offerings, besides some like very, very short-term stuff, starts at 12 months. And that's because it's habitual. And accountability means we're not going to keep telling you have to do this stuff, but we're going to actually walk with you, hold your hand, and guide you through this whole process until it just becomes a part of your personality, soft skills.
Yeah, soft skills and guidance and really there to with the intention of making you better. And mm-hmm. I think if we can look at accountability, not as a cringe word, as a, right? I'm going to be in trouble. It's more of a, hey, let's walk through this. Let's make sure we're doing the right things to develop the right muscles mm-hmm. to exercise yeah. the right practices. I think that's really powerful. And then yeah. communication. I love that you highlight communication as well, because yeah. that is probably the number one yeah. most overlooked. I assume I'm a great communicator because I can say words, and that yeah. is not the case at
I'm
all.
I'm articulate. Yeah. Right. Like, okay.
That's not what communication is. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about your communication training.
Oh gosh. So I love our communication training. And I would say this is the first pillar of really what we teach at all. We define communication. We define kind of those nuances within communication. And so what we teach around that is really the core, down to like feedback, tone of voice, body language, even like voice inflections and how you say things. So it really is just more about how can we get down to these basic human skills of communication versus, again, just that fluff or that extra stuff that, you know, that maybe makes you feel really smart, but let's just bring it down and say, how can we just say what we mean in a way that gets through to the other person? Yeah. We have a whole section all around how to be direct but kind. Because a lot of times we get leaders and managers that feel, like you said, that they communicate really well, but the data is showing that their team isn't getting it still. Their team yeah. is still misunderstanding. And all we can do as leaders is say, well, that's something on my part that I need to figure out how to fix. And so a lot of times it's, I feel like I'm being direct. And when we go through our little chart exercise, they're more in the indirect, like kind of column there. Sure. So we have a bunch of ways to figure out how to find the balance and just really tactical things and quantifying some of these soft skills that make it more tangible.
Yeah. You know, I think communication, like a lot of things, really comes down to making the person that you're communicating with feel safe.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. and once that, because that brings the wall down. If there's yep. a wall there, you can be the most articulate, impactful communicator, and, yep. and it's going to hit the wall. Mm-hmm. Right. And so part of that, that ability to tear the wall down is to make someone feel safe, even when you're having yeah. those tough conversations.
It's oh, like, absolutely.
They're having this tough conversation with me because they care. They yeah. want me to be better. They want me to know that this is something that is a problem that needs to be addressed, and they're going to mm-hmm. help me address it. It's not go be better at this. It's hey, let's yeah. walk through this together and mm-hmm. go on this journey. So that's really powerful. And it's an art. It's a skill. Yes. It has to be worked. It has to be exercised and developed. So
consistently, even when you feel yeah. like you hit it and you're really doing a great job, if you don't use it, you lose it. I mean, that is in everything in life. You have to continue to practice it and have those hard conversations. So yeah,
that's exactly right. Yeah. It's definitely, we've never arrived.
No. And if someone says that, run, make sure that you run. Run in the opposite direction from whoever has said that. Like, they are not your people.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. Well, Victoria, I definitely want to get to your quote because it's one of my favorites. Tell everyone the quote that you're bringing to us today, who said it and why it's impactful to you.
Yes. So it's Maya Angelou. And a lot of people have heard a version of this quote, and I'll probably butcher it, but people will never forget how you made them feel, but they'll always forget what you did, what you said, all the things. I know I'm really butchering this, but people will always remember how you made them feel. Like that is really the core of building the Leader HQ, to be honest with you, because the, you know, our mission statement sounds wonderful, but really it's just, how do we get to that human connection? Like, how do we just connect with people on a basic human level and make them feel okay? Like, everything is going to be okay at the end of the day. And I think as leaders and managers, you know, it has to start there to be able to show others that it is okay and that it's okay for ourselves too.
It is. And it's so much more than, you know, because I think a lot of people, or some people, will hear that and say, oh, that's that touchy feely stuff that,
yeah, I know,
you know, it doesn't belong in business. It just needs to be A to B get C. And mm-hmm. it's just, you know, those, there are environments out there and maybe they are semi-successful in the short term, but at the end of the day, they're in seasons, and, mm-hmm. and they're constantly recruiting mm-hmm. because they're constantly turning over talent.
Yes.
And it, and mm-hmm. and I don't know what it's going to take for a lot of businesses to understand the absolute need mm-hmm. to connect with your people.
Absolutely.
On an emotional level. And that doesn't mm-hmm. mean we have to be all up in their business. It doesn't mean we have to know things.
Yeah.
But it does mean that it's a responsibility of leaders
yes.
to create a safe space mm-hmm. and to allow people to feel like they can come with their ideas, their absolutely. Perspectives. And so many people just don't get that. And it can be frustrating.
Absolutely. Emotional regulation is, if you can learn that skill, when we talk about emotions, that's not fluffy. Like mm-hmm. emotional regulation means that you are able to take a pause and you're in response mode. And by doing that, you're then teaching and leading by example for others to learn and hopefully implement that for themselves. So if anything else, just emotional regulation is, wow, powerful.
It's powerful, and it speaks volumes when it's put into practice.
Yes, absolutely. And,
just for the leader to be able to show a sense of calm in the storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes the whole team feel like, okay, this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's chaotic, but we have a handle on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. We don't need to run around. Like, we can sit. Everything is not on fire. And that's the thing too, is like, there's not usually that many emergencies in business, even though it might feel like that. But if we can practice that emotional regulation, we can see it for what it is versus, you know, chaos.
So how does a person, Victoria, how do they get from being the person that is really good at doing and saying, because the quote is, people will forget what you did, people forget what you said. So there are a lot of people that are really good at doing things and saying things and making you hear them, and you hear them and you feel like, oh yeah, that person's on top of it. How do they go from that to actually evoking an emotion out of their audience? Because, you know, I may feel like you have it handled, but it doesn't make me feel better for the way that you've done that. So how do they go from saying and doing to making you feel like you're part of the team?
One word, listening.
Wow.
Listening, and listening to understand versus respond, which I know that's a very popular kind of phrase nowadays. But I still don't think people get it. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, honestly, it just comes back to just be a coach, you know, like the definition of a coach is someone who asks good questions, who listens, and who guides someone to the answer, which is amazing, because the definition of leadership is to guide and inspire. Wow. So when you talk about leadership, it's really, how do you become a coach?
Yeah.
How do you ask good questions, and how do you guide someone to their own solution? Self-determination theory. Have you ever heard that?
Self-determination
theory?
Yes.
It's amazing. People who find their own solutions are more likely to implement it.
Absolutely.
Being a coach, being a leader. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, it's interesting too, because I've used this before. You have this huge tub of fireworks, you know, this the one big grand finale firework. and as a leader, your job is to light the fuse. Mm. And then you step back and you watch that firework shine.
Yeah.
And the firework is your team. It's your people.
Yeah.
Let them shine. The spotlight is not on you as the leader.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
No.
it should be on the talent that you have on your team. It should be on them to shine. And when you allow your team to shine like that, you make mm-hmm. them feel so important. And they are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that goes to more of they'll never forget how you made them feel versus what you said
absolutely.
And what you did.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. People want to be heard, seen, valued. They want all those things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and it's just funny, because it just comes down to ego, which ego is not necessarily a bad thing. It's there for our survival and helps us with confidence. And so the more that you can get someone to talk about themselves, like, you never know if that's going to be their only chance that they get to be shame-free and talking about themselves.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people grow up with feeling shame around making it about them. And so what you can do as a leader is step completely out of the way and into their shadow. And I think, you know, the work that we do is not necessarily to take leaders down, but to teach them how to lift their team up above them,
sure.
which makes a big difference.
Sure.
And a lot of management and leaders are in those positions, or maybe they got in those positions at first because they thought leadership was something different than support.
Right.
But the beautiful thing about learning that it's support is that it takes the pressure off the leader. Doesn't have to be lonely, and you don't have to have all the answers, which
Right.
is a big shift for a
Oh,
lot of executives.
it really is. If as a
Yes.
leader, if you can learn the fact that you don't have to be the expert and have all the answers, you're
Yes.
50% ahead of the game, ahead of
Yeah.
everybody else. Because
Yes.
it kind of comes down to, as the leader, because a lot of times we talk about leadership development, and it
Yeah.
is about helping them become supportive, and about helping grow the team and put the spotlight on the team. But as a leader, there's also a psychological need within you.
Yes,
You need to feel
absolutely.
appreciated as well. And so there is some feeding into that
Yeah.
that needs to happen, because we spend so much time focusing on other people that
Yep.
we neglect self-care.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
I think there's a fine balance there, because you can't make people feel empowered and important if you don't feel like you are.
Yeah, I always say you can pour from an empty cup, but it's backwash. It's dirt, and we don't want that. Like, please go take a week and come back,
Wow.
because when you're pouring into us, I want it to be your good top of the cup stuff,
That's the best. That's the best quote I've heard on this podcast. That's fantastic. I love that.
that phrase, because they're like, can't pour from an empty cup. We hear it a lot in church. If anybody's ever been raised in church, we hear that all the time. I'm like, oh yeah, you can.
You
I've
can.
experienced some people who have been pouring from an empty cup for a long time.
That's so good. That's so true as well. So, Victoria, as we wrap up, one of the things that I love for my audience to do is win their week. I love for them to be able to take something from these episodes that they can apply to their daily life, whether it's work or personal, whatever it is, something that's going to inspire them to move closer to their goal, do just a little bit more this week than they normally would. When you think about this quote from Maya Angelou, people will forget what you did, people will forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel. How can someone take this quote, apply it to their lives, and help them move closer to their goals?
Oh gosh, this is a good question. I think the biggest thing is going back to just listening. And I think it goes beyond listening to other people, and talking about filling your own cup. Like, how can you listen to yourself? And how can you listen to, if you do believe in whatever you believe, listening to the energy, to God, to universe, whatever it is that you feel like you need to listen to. I'm in a season of that right now where I need to kind of step out of my own way and listen, and slow down, I think is really the biggest thing. So if that's any advice to anybody, just take a moment, pause, and listen either to others, to yourself, or whoever or whatever it is that is leading you in life.
I love that, because that goes right back to that self-care. We have to be able to have our cup filled so that we can pour into others. And
Absolutely.
it's so true. And I think a part of that, I think there are a couple of things that I love that you said. Whatever you're grounded in your faith, or whatever speaks to you, I so many times I've just stopped and listened and prayed, and just, and it's subtle. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's like a smack in the face. God's like, come on.
I know. I've had a couple of those lately. God's like, excuse me, where are you going? I'm like,
How many times I gotta tell
I
you?
know.
But just being able to listen is such an important skill, and people think, oh, I listen. Do you really? Oh, it's like,
Well,
okay.
another part of that too is, are you willing to do what's required?
Yes.
Right? So, like, I am a believer, and just kind of leaning into faith, for me, it's more about being obedient and the next steps.
Yes.
And a lot of people see obedience as kind of a hand tie, but for me lately, it's been freeing,
Oh, it's so freeing.
because being
Yes.
able to sit and listen and just hear the next steps instead of trying to figure it out yourself. Again, that leadership role where it's like, you don't have to have all the answers. You really don't. You can seek it out in others or things, and really just find that community to help support you is it's incredible. And a lot of times it's your team.
Absolutely. The Leader HQ is a wonderful, wonderful group that is powerful training, hugs and hustles for empowering women leaders. Their impact methodology of training and coaching one-on-one, coaching executives. They can help your team. If you're in need of soft skill growth and development, reach out to the Leader HQ. Victoria, before we go, tell everyone how they can reach out to you, to your team. Tell us about the website. Tell us how we can get in touch so that we can develop our soft skills through the Leader HQ.
Absolutely. Well, you can find us at theleaderhq.com. You can find us on social media at The Leader HQ. So we kind of have gotten all of those handles together, which is wonderful. And then you can email me personally, Victoria@TheLeaderHQ. Drew is my wonderful, amazing sales executive. So he kind of handles any kind of incoming calls or really works out a good package for you. So you can also email him at Drew@TheLeaderHQ. And we also have a free webinar coming up actually this month on how to have more better effective meetings, so that you can identify clearly if this can be an email, how to create objectives, timelines, and making sure you're on task and on time for your meetings. So that people want to come back.
If we could just figure that out.
I know. I figured it out.
The Leader HQ has figured it out. Victoria knows how to create effective meetings because we hear it all the time. Oh, my calendar's full. There's meetings, meetings, meetings. You know, how many of those could be emails and how many of those are a waste of time?
Shorten it down. Yes.
Let's shorten it down. Let's accomplish what we need. Agenda, agenda, agenda. I had a philosophy way back when I was in an organization that just had way too many meetings. I let everyone know, no agenda, no attenda. I'm exactly. not coming if there's not an agenda. Yeah. We're going to stick to it. Because it was it's too much time wasted that you could be accomplishing things.
Absolutely.
So check them out. She is the visionary leader behind the Leader HQ. Victoria Fusco, thank you so much for joining us on the Quotivation Podcast. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
And that was Victoria Fusco, the leader, the mastermind behind the Leader HQ. So reach out to them through theleaderhq.com. Get to know their services. They have a lot of wonderful services that they offer to businesses and companies, coaching for your leaders, training, group trainings, empowering women through their hugs and hustle. I love that. It's fantastic. So I want to thank Victoria for being on the Quotivation Podcast. And hey, why don't you stick around? Because we have just enough time to have a little dessert. It's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
It can never be said enough that the development of soft skills is so incredibly important. And they're the ones that we tend to overlook, right? I mean, when we think about training, think about things that we want to do to improve our offerings to our employer, make ourselves more attractive, make ourselves more valuable to an organization, allow ourselves to grow and learn and to become better at our jobs. Some of the things that we think about in terms of training would tend to fall in the realm of maybe training on a specific system that we work in every day. I know Excel training has always been something that I've always heard in my career. Boy, I wish I could just learn Excel. I wish I could just learn the power of PowerPoint and creating great presentations within PowerPoint and how to make things move and animate things so that when I'm presenting, I showcase what I'm talking about in the best and most appealing manner. And that's fine. Those kind of trainings are fine. But we neglect and we overlook the soft skills trainings. The soft skill trainings that the Leader HQ provides that Victoria is very passionate about. And we talked a lot about that. Some of them being things like having difficult conversations, communication in general. I think everyone thinks they're a great communicator. It almost feels like if I admit that I'm not a great communicator, then I'm admitting that I'm dumb. Like it should just be one of those basic things, right? We learn to talk when we're like 2 years old. Some of us say our first words, you know, at 9 months, dada, suddenly we're communicating. We're pointing as little kids. Want that? Want that? We learn the word no very quickly as small children. And so we think because we learn the language or we learn to speak, we learn to talk and express things, that we suddenly just become these great communicators. And that's not true. It's okay not to be a great communicator. Most people aren't, quite frankly. Because it takes more than just talking to be an effective communicator. You have to be able to listen. Oh, I hear what you say. I heard what they said. Well, there's a difference between hearing what's said and listening. Truly, effectively listening. Because when we listen, we understand. Part of understanding is not just what is trying to be conveyed to us, not just what is being communicated, not just what is being said, but who's saying it and why. Why do they feel the way that they feel? What's sparking this communication? Is it informative? What am I supposed to do with this information that they're providing to me? I'm a fixer. A lot of times my wife will come to me and she'll have this problem or this issue or this thing that she's concerned about, and she'll start talking. And immediately in my mind, I am going into fixer mode. Oh, well, here's what you need to do. You need to do this, 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 and this. But I'm not listening. I'm not listening because she doesn't want me to fix it. She just needs to vent. She just needs to talk. Sometimes she just needs to talk it out, and she's able to come up with a solution on her own. And so I'm not a very effective communicator when I don't stop to understand why I'm receiving the information that I'm getting. And all of this ties into a wonderful quote that Victoria brought for us today from Maya Angelou. And the quote says that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. So what does listening have to do with that then? What does being a great communicator have to do with that? Well, people want to be heard. Okay, well, I hear what you're saying. I heard the words you said. No, no. People want to be heard. They want their message, their feelings, their thoughts, the reasoning behind why I'm saying the words to be understood by the person we're communicating with. I want you to understand not just what I'm saying, but why I'm saying it, what perspective I have in terms of communicating this to you, how I see it from my point of view. Really listen empathetically to me, so that you understand what is being communicated. You're going to forget what I said eventually. You'll even forget what I did in response to your response, or maybe in response to what I'm trying to communicate to you. But you'll never forget how it made you feel. If I come to you with a problem and I express that problem, and you say, okay, I hear you, I got you, and you don't do anything about it, I'm going to feel unheard. I'm going to feel unimportant. I'm going to feel like you don't care about my perspective, about my take on things. And if I'm part of your team, if this is in a business environment, or if I'm part of your team in a family environment or a friend environment or in a community environment, I'm going to feel like I don't belong. I'm not wanted. You don't want me here. And I'll remember that far longer than I'll remember you saying, well, that's not true. I want you here. I appreciate your input. I'll remember how I feel far longer than that pat on the back. Hey, I'm glad you're here. You can say all of those things all you want, but the actions don't follow. And it's going to make me feel like there's an ulterior motive, that I'm actually not wanted here, that you're not authentic, that I can't believe what you say. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. So why should you brush up on your soft skills? Why should you take the time to learn how to be an effective communicator, how to hold people accountable, how to allow yourself to be held accountable? Why should you work on and train on empathy, understanding, on DE&I, on belonging, on culture, on these things that are all these touchy-feely things, these emotional things, because that's what people remember, how you make them feel. Think about someone that you haven't seen in a while. Maybe someone you used to work with. Maybe a former boss. And over the course of your tenure, working with that person or working for that person, how was it? What was it like? And then I want you to listen to how you answer that question, because most of us are going to answer that question by talking about how it felt to work for that person. Oh, you know what? It was wonderful because they empowered me. I felt empowered to do my job. They did not micromanage me. I felt trusted to do my job. We remember that far longer than a conversation or something they said in an annual evaluation, or a performance review, or a coaching session. You remember how it made you feel, not necessarily what was said or anything they did. So as we think about this in terms of winning our week, what are the things that we can do? What are the things that we can take away? I think primarily the biggest thing is understanding the power that you will possess when you truly hone your soft skills. When you work on emotional intelligence. When you understand where people are coming from. When you truly get to know the people that you work with, that you work for, that work for you. Get to know people. Understand what makes them tick, so that you can evoke in them a positive feeling and express to them and allow them to feel something positive about you, because that's what they remember. When someone has a positive feeling about you, they're going to be more apt to give you their best effort. They're going to be more apt to really focus and get the job done, to do things for you because, hey, you know what? I respect you because you respect me. You're not going to get that kind of commitment, that loyalty, that work out of someone through fear. You just won't. You may in the short term, but they'll leave. And when they leave, they're going to leave a scorching road behind them about how you made them feel. So you want to win your week? Think about how you want to feel about the people you work with, and then go out and make the people you work with feel that about you. That'll help you win your week. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel, by Maya Angelou. I want to thank Victoria Fusco for coming on the Quotivation Podcast and sharing her information and this wonderful quote with us today. I want to thank Amy Real for sponsoring the Shot of Motivation. And I want to thank you for listening. That's all the time we have. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.